Suds, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. How many hours have you spent studying your fantasy football team already?
A lot.
Two.
A lot. How would you know?
Oh, hi. Hey, you know, I can read these sort of things. Yep. Did you have anybody going last night?
Yeah, I made up pretty good last night. I had Cobb, so I wasn't expecting big things, so I'll take a touchdown and a few points there. And I had Harvin and Seattle's kicker there. So all in all, it was a good start to my season.
Sure. Nice.
You?
No, I have nobody going last night. You know what? It kind of stinks. I have a lot of guys going in the same games this weekend, so which is maybe good. But I have a lot of Denver and Colts guys going head-to-head, which like Manning and Thomas, baby. So let's go there. Sure.
Yeah. Like it.
Yeah. We just had Majot do push-ups live on the air. He got up to 15. How many push-ups could you do right now?
Right now?
Yeah, like if we said, Sotheby, get down, count your push-ups out loud, how many do you think you could do?
Jeez. Well, I'm going to go do it right after this.
And no. Why don't you put your phone down on the ground and just count them out like Majot did, and we'll see how many you can get to.
My segment's not long enough for that.
Now, when you were playing it in shape, like what was the most what's the most push-ups you ever rattled off in a row?
Well, push-ups wasn't something that I really did for an extended period of time. But okay. In Dallas, they did do a testing of push-ups, but push-ups with this was to the beat or the melody, you know, where you're up. Down. It was really slow.
Oh, those are way harder.
Those were tough. Those mm-hmm. were tough. And I could rattle off about mid-50s there, and that was usually pretty good. Somewhere in the low to mid-60s was the top at camp.
Okay.
So I was comfortable and in the upper half of the team average in mid-50s there. So,
and that's
push-ups for me are okay. I always struggled with bench press. I don't know, with just my shoulders and having the bar and not really being able to move my body. It was always hard for me with my shoulders, but I don't mind push-ups.
Yeah, push. Now, the rhythm that you went at, was it like a go up, one, two, hold, and then down, one, two?
Yeah, very slow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I was actually rattling off push-ups in my prime and in great shape and not going to that speed, I mean, I don't even know what it would be, but it would be much higher than that because it was so slow that it really interrupted you and burned a lot more.
Oh, yeah, because your muscles are under tension the whole time, right, which is way better.
Yeah.
And so the reason they don't do push-ups in hockey is because it's really not a motion you're ever really using on the ice.
Not a lot. I mean, a little bit, I guess, when you're in the corners and you're pushing with guys in front of the net. But for the most part, you want to have your stick on the ice in the D zone as is. So a lot of times you're pushing down and, you know, it's funny that even in, the scouting combines and whatnot, that they're still doing, bench press and those sorts of things. Cause it's really not that important. And when we're training, at least, we were doing three leg days a week. And then we'd mix in, some upper body, one, maybe 2 days, and do some speed stuff with that. But upper body wasn't a huge focus just because you're really not using it that much. It's more about core and your lower half and driving strength through there.
Who was the freakishly strongest guy that you played with?
That I played with? Geez, I'm trying to think of guys that in the NHL you would know. I mean, definitely – Owen Fussey, a guy that when I was in junior played for the Calgary Hitmen and was drafted by Washington. He was the strongest kid by a mile. I think he ended up being a third rounder. In the NHL, guys I played with, nothing's really ringing a bell off the top of my head on teams I played on, but Jason Chimera is a guy that I trained with for 15 years and got to see him every day, and I think most other fans know him. I mean, he's arguably the fastest guy in the league, straight ahead speed. His legs are huge, freakish on the track. He can run like the wind, skate like the wind. When I was really young, I remember at the U of A, we were doing leg press, and Chimmer had 12 plates aside on the leg press, and I was sitting on the machine. I was about $1.60 at that point. And Chimmer was pushing it up and down, and he was probably only 21 or 22, so pretty ridiculous.
12 on each side.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not bad. You know.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty good. If by my math, that's 540 pounds on each side, so 1,080 plus you. So that's about what'd you say you were, $160 at the
now,
time?
Now we were. Yeah, I was probably $160. Now back then, I don't know if we were going as deep. As we.
He was doing leg press, moving it an inch.
It was still one of those moments that was just stupid, and he's that fast at everything he does. Though I mean, when we're doing. When we're squatting, when we're doing the track stuff, towing tired toes, stairs. I mean, he was always the guy at the gym that you were chasing.
Yeah, I have I've seen Chimera doing some workout stuff, and actually, I've never seen anybody hit the golf ball as far as he does too.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, that's just all part of it, right? Yeah. I mean, the mechanics of his body and how strong he is. And if you see him, if you saw him with his shirt off, his upper body is nothing special, and he has, you know, he's got. Horrible skin pigment as well. I hope he's listening. But that's the thing. Like it's all about your legs and your core. And I didn't see anyone in my time that had a stronger lower half than Chimmer.
Yeah, in hockey, if you don't nowadays. Weight is definitely it helps for sure, you know. But if you don't have strength and you can't generate strength from your lower body or your core, you're not lasting in the NHL.
No, and that's the thing. Back before the first lockout or whatever it was, the second lockout, I guess, in 04, was when I was breaking into the league. And before that, you could just, as a centerman, you could stick your stick between guys' legs, can open them. You could hook them to death as they were coming out of the corner. I mean, there was nothing you couldn't get away from. And especially now, you have to be able to skate and you have to be able to use your strength. You could get away with not being as strong in the defensive zone if you're able to use your stick and get your stick in areas where it shouldn't be and to prevent guys from moving. But now it's all about body. You have to have body position. You have to be strong enough to hold your ground. There's nothing else you can rely on other than your core and your legs to battle against that guy you're going against.
Former NHLer writes at OilersNation.com, Brian Sutherby joins us. Suds just announced the Calgary Flames have signed Corey Potter.
Wow. Okay.
Do you are the Oilers going to be better than the Flames this year?
Wow. I hope so. I mean, I think last year was especially telling and frustrating for a lot of Oilers fans because most of the time when you're watching the game, you see the talent that they had, you see the skill, and on a lot of nights you wondered where the work ethic was or why they weren't able to win more hockey games. And a lot of the time it just came down to play away from the puck, wanting it more, competing. And the Flames have built their team differently in that regard. They've gone after guys that aren't maybe as skilled, but they're a little nastier. They want to be in those battles. They're more comfortable in those battles, and they want to go through you. So they're built a little bit differently. I would think and hope that with the skill the Oilers have, with some of the size they've added, and again, another year with Aikens, knowing what to expect, another year with his system. I've told you before, I played against his Marlies teams in Toronto. He's not a guy that wants to play run-and-gun hockey. They played physical-style hockey. They were always tough games, and I know that you can't always control the personnel of the guys you have on the ice, but I know that that's the way that he would love for this team to play a little bit more like Calgary's team. And if the Oilers can find a way to work as hard as Calgary, do the little things like Calgary, win battles, win those fights in the corners, be as tenacious as those guys with their skill, they should absolutely be better than Calgary.
You talk about the style that Aikens wants to have his team play. I don't think the Oilers have those type of players. Do you?
No, they don't. And that's where, as a coach, it's probably a little bit frustrating. But at the same time, you can't force guys to always be that way, but you can bring a little bit more out of them. I think you're ultimately born or it's inside you to be that guy that's always going to push back or fight or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, to win hockey games in the NHL, you have to work and you have to fight through things and you have to be willing to sacrifice and put your body on the line. And I know that's how he would like this team to play. I think last time on Tuesday we talked about it, Taylor Hall being that guy that's, he's always been the tenacious guy. He's always been the guy to be willing to do that stuff, but now he's learning to play a little bit more away from the puck, straight lines, back checking. Those sorts of things make you harder to play against too, and that's what that means. Being harder to play against is all those things wrapped into one, and back checking and play away from the puck and smart puck decisions, and then also winning battles. And so I don't think they have those guys, but I do think that they added a few bigger bodies that are going to be a little bit harder to play against at least, and you have to hope that you're going to be able to get more out of the guys that are coming back. They've played under him before. They're going to be more comfortable, and they know what to expect. So I would love to think that there's going to be a little bit more oomph in their game.
When you were playing forward, Brian, did you ever notice, was it a big advantage going up against a defenseman when he was playing, like if he was a right-shot defenseman playing the left side?
No. To be honest, it never even crossed my mind. And if it did, maybe I'd be a better hockey player to try and take advantage of something like that. I mean, obviously, when you're in the game, you're forechecking, you're making reads when you're going at a defenseman and you try to push him to his backhand, or you realize when his back's turned to you, he's bobbling the puck or in a more vulnerable position than, say, if he's coming right at you and staring at you and you have Drew Doughty. I mean, in the NHL, those guys are going to make plays. So you have to pick your spots. You got to see guys at their most vulnerable and when they're weak. But as far as just straight up noticing a guy's on his offside, it wasn't something that I ever really thought about or keyed on, no.
Okay, I was just curious, because some defensemen hate switching sides, and I always wondered if it was a more of a feel for them or if there was an actual advantage from the...
I know Struds has said that he'd... doesn't think that it was that hard to switch. And for me, at least being a forward, I always felt like when I hadn't done it for a long time or had the chance to practice, there were nights where a coach would come up to you 20 minutes before the game, like, Suds, something happened and you're sliding to the right wing tonight. And, when you're not constantly picking up pucks on your backhand, when you're having to create a different angle, you have to create a little bit of a different angle to pick up pucks on your backhand than you would on your forehand, just because you don't have the same range. Those for me were different, and I didn't feel as comfortable. It would take me a game or two to start to feel better. So what you're saying for me, I mean, it absolutely makes sense that if you can key on that, you know a defenseman's on his off wing and he's going to be getting a pass on his backhand, it should give you the opportunity to say, hey, here's a chance where he is taking this pass on his backhand and maybe I can jump. And like I said, maybe I should have focused on that and maybe had a couple more goals.
Some other NHL news. Ville Leino, one of the worst free agent signings in NHL history, just never – seriously, like he went to Philly, played well, yeah, cashed in, and it was a dog in Buffalo. Yeah. He's going to a training camp on a PTO. You know, we're hearing Penner's going to Montreal. I know Struds hated and said he wouldn't go because he's like, well, they're just using you as camp fodder so you can be a veteran that counts against the numbers in the preseason. Would you have ever gone on a PTO? Did you ever go?
I never did, but I probably would have after my back surgery. I was supposed to go to Phoenix or Arizona now when I was coming off my back surgery, and I would have. At that point, I was coming off a down year, played most of the year hurt, and I was going to an organization where I'd played for that coach previously, had a good relationship with him. He knew the player that I was, and I felt like with the year that I had and coming off a serious surgery that I had, I didn't really have much choice, and I felt like that was the best situation for me to go to. So I absolutely would have done it. I'm not totally sure these guys' history or what their thought process or what they're dealing with, but at that stage of my career, that was what I wanted to do. That was what I felt would help me earn a contract and find myself back on an NHL team as quick as possible, and unfortunately I ended up still not being 100% and missing that camp. So I never did actually go, but if it was me, yeah, I'm trying to get my foot back in the door. I'm trying to have a chance at not only that team seeing me, but good. If they want me to play in exhibition games, 29 other teams can see me. So I would absolutely go.
Marty Brodeur report that Montreal offered, I'm sure he'd go. When you look at the season that Marty Brodeur had last year, Is there any reason why a team should sign him now?
I don't think so. You know, I think Marty Brodeur, and you look at his numbers and the save percentage decline and just everything, his age, sort of the career he's had, the name he has, it could almost create that Luongo Schneider type scene again in another city. I just think for most teams that bringing in a guy like him, his stature, his age, and then obviously declining numbers at this point, he wouldn't be on my team if I was a GM.
Yeah, he had a .901 save percentage in 39 games last year, mm-hmm. which is is well below. That was I think it was 70th or 71st yeah. in the NHL. And yeah. So that's not even top two goalies on any team. So clearly,
and then you're bringing a guy in that is not even top 70, and you're bringing in a guy that's a veteran. He might be saying all the right things right now, but if he's not playing, he's been a starter his whole career. You have no idea how he's going to really react to being a backup at the start. I mean, I guess Carey Price, it's not going to make a difference in Montreal, but maybe in other places where you have a guy that doesn't quite have the stature of Carey Price, then, you know, maybe he's complaining, he's wanting to get in, the fans want him to get in. I just think it creates a bit of a circus when you have a guy that has played as long as he did, had such a great career, and then is on such a decline. I just don't know if that's a good thing.
Suds, have a good weekend. Tell us, we'll talk to you on Tuesday. We'll find out how many push-ups you do, and don't lie. We want the truth, how many you can do right after this show.
Okay, sounds good.